the acceptable Christian sin of gluttony, a sin that I have been guilty of down through the years. I cannot say that I am as guilty as I used to be, because God has brought me under conviction about this sin. It is truly amazing, as I have mentioned to you in the past, how we Christians can justify sin. Something that we used to say was bad, we somehow deceive ourselves into thinking is not bad now. But this sin of gluttony was bad in the early church and is bad today. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 8 and 9. Remove far from me vanity and lies. And I've read this passage hundreds of times and down through the years. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. Now, God is not talking about going down to the convenience store, now, but that which is good for you and sufficient, so that you can do the work that God wants you to do. Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would, by the power of your Holy Spirit, make this real to us. Some of us who are blinded by our own gluttony, being overfilled, our sin, our foolishness, our justification of our obesity, our fatness, our overweightness, our sin that we have accepted, and obviously so many thousands of others have accepted it in the church, because a little over half of the church is fat and unfit. The gluttony shows up. Have mercy and grace upon us for Jesus Christ's sake, and upon me as well, and forgive us of our sins, our failures and our faults in this area, and help us not to be given to appetite. Help us to repent. Thank you for bringing it out. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to see that something we have accepted for many years is just as evil and just as wicked as any other sin. And we do not have a right to point our fingers at others when three fingers are pointing back at us, because of our sin of gluttony, overeating. And it is a common thing, as you know, in your church. Some of the fattest, unhealthiest people in the world are in the church. And you love us. You've been very gracious to us and very patient. You understand, for most of us, we have a spirit of celebration. Not trying to justify it, but it's just true. We have a joy, we have a peace, we have a spirit of celebration. Any little thing that happens, we celebrate it. Sunday is a big day, not only of celebrating you on in worship, but we celebrate with a big fatty calf meal. The problem, Lord, is not only are we gluttons, and we overeat, but we have what I have called the AIDS of the church, and that is diseases that you cannot easily get rid of. because of our sin of gluttony. Thousands of Bible-believing Christians, as you know, have died early because of obesity and diabetes, heart issues and problems and troubles, even though they were warned, they chose not, to repent of that sin, and they went to an early grave, having lived a life of embarrassment and shame. So Lord, help us to confess our sins. Help us to choose to repent of our sin, as we are telling the homosexuals to repent of their sin by choice. As we're telling the adulterers and adulteresses to repent of their sins. As we're telling our millennials to repent of their sin of irresponsibility. Lord, help us to repent of our sin of gluttony. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say we won't be long, but I fear that some will say, oh, now, once we are talking about your sin, all of a sudden we won't be long. Okay, so I don't want to do that. And so I know some of y'all got your mind on the game. The greatest, probably the most, probably the biggest game in a century. It's going to be happening here in a few minutes. And some of you got your mind, hurry up, preacher. Some of you got your mind on eating. And that's another big sin that we have committed, particularly us gluttons. We wake up on Sunday morning, got to go and worship God, need to go and worship God, should go and worship God. But the first thing on our menu is to make sure our food is going to be ready after church. And how many of us, while we're in church, we don't want to be disrespectful, but we're thinking about, hopefully the preacher will end quickly because I can't wait to eat. You know we're wrong. We're just wrong for doing that. While you're sitting there supposedly worshiping God, your mind is on that ham that's roasting in that oven. Your mind is on that fried chicken. Your mind is on that potato salad. You know that's a problem. You know that's a sin. You're lusting after food while you're in the house of God. You're worshiping food. That's your idol. Can't wait to get home, to chow down, to put your eating clothes on. See, gluttons have eating clothes. Oh, their suit got to come off. They got what? The tie has got to come off. They have an outfit. They already have it in mind. They can't wait. It has an expanded waistband. Because you're getting ready to get down into your sin. Don't you get mad with me. You know I'm telling the truth. Get so stuffed, you don't sit up in the chair, you just lean back. And so, beloved, this is an uncomfortable subject for many of us. But if you listen and take heed, this particular series can not only change your life spiritually, but it can save your life physically. And women are more sensitive about this than men. And they get mad at me, and they don't want to listen to anything I have to say when I deal with this subject. You have women who are overweight, who are obese, and they're very sensitive about it. And they use such euphemisms and such language as, I am going to a class on body loving, body image, something like that, body loving images or body image loving or whatever, wanting to love their bodies. This is a thing where they go to a class or they go to a yoga class to learn how to love themselves as they are. Body image loving or something they call it. Men do not go to such classes. These verses, ladies and gentlemen, in Proverbs are a part of a collection of sayings from Agur. That's how I pronounce it. You could call him Agur if you want to. We don't know much about Agur, as this is the only time he is mentioned in Holy Scripture. But I assure you, he said what he had to say when he got his chance. However, all of the Proverbs of chapter 30 are believed to have been collected by him for a document or speech delivered to Ithiel and Ucal, two people who may have been his disciples or his close associates. Like the last Proverbs, the proverb that we looked at, these sayings which make up what can be described as a prayer highlight the importance of moderation in our eating and in all things, especially our eating habits. Now let me just say a curse word to some of us. That is when the doctor frankly tells you that you're obese. That's a curse word to fat people, overweight people. Now let me help you. For most of us, if you don't have a certain disease, most of us, you must understand, no matter how you want to fix it, are overweight. And we are obese. We're fat. And the reason is, not because of some kind of glands or whatever you want to call it, is because we are sitting at the table eating too much. And we eat the wrong things. Agur prays for neither poverty nor riches, because both can lead to extremes. If one is poor, he may be led to steal his food or whatever. If one is rich and has all his needs supplied, he may be led to ignore God and deny the need for God in his life, like some people do. I know of somebody, they were looking for a certain kind of job, and they finally got that job, and now they have adopted a different attitude towards where they came from. They were humble right before they got the job. They even asked for prayer, but now they talk arrogantly and proud and foolishly, not understanding that the same God who gave it to you is the same God who will take it away from you. We need to be humble. Some people get into a situation in life, a positive situation in life, and they think they have it easy sailing from now on, not understanding just around the corner is an iceberg. Just like they saw when they were coming to America on the Titanic. This desire for, this need for moderation is also extended to Eger's eating habits. He asks to be fed with food convenient for me. The Hebrew word translated as food was primarily used for bread or grain, thus daily bread, but can be taken to mean all food staples, milk and honey, things that provide sustenance, including fruit and meat. The Hebrew word translated as convenient means a prescribed portion, a limit, or a boundary. My beloved, my sin has been down through the years, not eating the wrong things, but eating too much of the right things. My portions have been too large. You can eat too much salad if you got the wrong stuff on it. Bless your heart. If you got turkey and ham and beef and shrimp and my favorite dressing, ranch and cheese and salt and everything else on top of the poor lettuce that's holding all of that up, that can be bad for you. Eger desires to have the food that is set aside for him and no more. Just give me, Lord, what I need to get by, to be satisfied and nourished, to do my work. And by the way, now let me just say to all of us who are struggling with overeating, that you do need to eat, but not overeat. God wants you to eat for your body's sake. And if you just go without eating, like some people do, you're just not going to have the energy level to do what God has made you to do. So you need to eat, but we need to cut back on what we're eating and the bad foods that we are addicted to. And that is a major problem for those of us who struggle with gluttony, overeating, a lack of moderation, a lack of self-control. Now, we all know we don't need half a chicken. We want half a chicken, but we don't need half a chicken to survive and to live and to have the energy we need. You say, preacher, have you ever eaten half a chicken? Sure have. Rotisserie, are you kidding me? Slice right on down the middle. Get the wing, the leg, the thigh, the breast, everything. My wife, who's from Jamaica, always tries to get the little giblets or whatever, the little turkey necks and stuff like that. I get that too. I don't know why she loved the neck. Neck bone, I guess that's all they had down in Jamaica lawn. I don't know. But I said, she tries to hide it underneath the chicken or the turkey. I said, no, I got to have it. Just a little meat on it, but I got to have it. Leave it alone. Stop trying to steal from me. What's so sad about it, I already have half a chicken. It would seem like it would be appropriate and good for me to let her have the neck bone. Be that as it may, ladies and gentlemen, we find it hard to eat only that which is sufficient or needed. And just like a so-called drunkard, an alcoholic or a drunkard, I don't have any problems with moderation in wine, but I do have a problem in moderation with food. And guess what? I'm going to struggle tonight while I watch Mahomes beat up on the Rams like he's playing with little kids. You say, preacher, what are you going to eat tonight? Well, I'm still on the Daniel fast. I'm going to eat some hot cauliflower. I forgot to get my mushrooms. But I'm going to eat some mushrooms, spinach, kale. I know kale is a curse word to some of y'all. You can't stand it. Broccoli. Carrot. Squash. Zucchini soup. And yes, I'm going to be tempted to overeat it. To overeat that. I said I'm going to be tempted, but by the grace of God, I'm not going to do it because God has convicted me not to keep doing that. It's just wrong. You say, where does conviction come from? I don't know. I don't know why God did that. I don't really have any serious major health issues that I'm concerned about, but God, he just told me you need, if you're going to preach on sin, then you need to preach on your sin. If there is a big pot or pan, we are compelled to get seconds, aren't we? We just, and some of us act like we, you know, we're not going to see the food again, and we try to get it all at one time. I'm not going to name any names. But you know who you are. John Gill noted that some render food convenient for me to be the food of my allowance, of my portion, that which is allotted to me and appointed for me. And the truth of the matter is, some of us need somebody to allot a certain portion for us. Thank you for those good wives. Thank God for those good wives who, they do the shopping, they control what goes into the house, and they put the food on, they cook it a certain way. It tastes bland. It doesn't taste good. They put something that's almost salt on it. Maybe a product called, I can't believe it's not salt, or whatever. And they give you, they got a small little spoon that they put little allotments of your food on the plate. Not because she hates you, maybe because she hates you, but because she loves you, hopefully. You say, well, what do these loving wives put on the plate? They put a little spoon of kale first. Then they put some peas. They don't put chicken legs or chicken quarters. If they give you some chicken, it's going to be free-range chicken, breast, dry as all get out, it's going to be just half a piece, bam, that's it. And you're going to look at her like you want to cuss and say, what is this? Is this all I get? And she says with a smirk, yes, that's all you get, fatso. Yeah, but she's doing it because she loves you. At least that's what she wants you to believe. And her skin and herself sits down to her. She got a full plate because she can eat whatever she wants. And you look over there at her and she's laughing. You ask her, what are you laughing about? There's nothing funny on television. She just falls out laughing. I'm laughing at you. because I'm giving you some chocolate cake and you can't have any, and it's going to hurt you so bad. It seems to be the same which Job calls his necessary food. And we'll touch on that. We'll deal with that later. And Christ himself said, our daily bread. The illusion seems to be the stated measure of food allowed to servants by the day or by the month, which was but small and scanty, yet with which a girl could be content. And so, ladies and gentlemen, this passage reminds us that God is in the mix, is he not, in our eating habits. God's concerned about every aspect of our lives. I don't know how he does it, but he's on it. You know it. You know when you are eating too much. We can ask him for the strength to say no when we have had that which is sufficient for us. And we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us to help rein in the appetite of the flesh. And if you eat right, guess what? You don't need all of these Rolaids and Tums and all that stuff. You don't need that. That's for people who are gluttons, who intentionally eat too much to the point they're filling up their esophagus and they need something, some Pepcid or something, to stop stuff from coming up back out of your mouth because you are a glutton. You're filled with the sin of gluttony. When you lay down, they call it reflux. You have eaten so much. You lay down and you fall off to sleep. You throw it up. Why? Because you are a glutton. As God is supplying our daily bread, we show respect for him and his provision by not gorging ourselves on that which is before us and eating only the portion that is convenient, sufficient, or needed. May God help us to do that this week. And there was a time, ladies and gentlemen, Thanksgiving week started on Sunday and did not end until January the 10th in my household. I remember one year we had about 5 turkeys in 1 week. I'm ashamed to say it. And I ate most of it. Man, we had all kinds of turkeys. We had bacon wrapped turkey. We had smoked turkey. Man, I tell you what. And then we made turkey soup. Are you kidding me? It was wrong. I was wrong, people. I'm sorry. I was wrong. I was just wrong to do that. But thank God for his mercy and his grace and his conviction. And sometimes God convicts you gently. I don't know why. Some things, he's going to be on you, buddy. But for some reason, God has been very gracious and kind to me and to you about overeating. I don't know why. I don't understand it. But he has not been as hard on me about that as he's been on me, hard on me about other things, that he just makes it very clear. You better not do that, boy. You know what I'm talking about. And so, beloved, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live next time, which should be tomorrow, the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we will continue looking at what the Bible tells us about overcoming the sin of gluttony, which leads to obesity. and God's plan for man's eating habits. Let's eat that which is convenient for us. One bowl of porridge is enough. Amen, somebody. One sandwich is enough. You don't have to just eat a half a sandwich, but at least stay with one sandwich. And the older you get, since you are dying soon, you need less energy. So slow it down. You don't need half a turkey anymore. Just go ahead and get your favorite part, the wing, and just a slice of breast, and leave it. Food convenient for you and for me. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us to do the right thing throughout this week. Help us to eat and drink in moderation for your glory, praise, and honor, to celebrate, because we know you want us to do that, to celebrate you, to be so thankful to you about what you have done, and not just the provision of the food, but what you've done in our lives down through the years, not just this year, but every year. And it's a celebration, and we look forward to that. And Lord, I can't wait to have that prime rib and that turkey. But Lord, help me to not eat as much as I have done in the past. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, just a couple of practical things found in the so-called rave diet, which is really the rave lifestyle. Mike Anderson continues sharing with us the importance of exercise as a part of your dietary changes. Pardon me. He writes, when the brain is producing happy chemicals, such as those released when you exercise, I want to lovingly, I'm not going to tell you to do what I'm not doing. My family is a witness. I exercise 6 days a week. Every now and then I might miss one or two because of a busy schedule. But I try to exercise before I preach, because it makes a difference. It makes a difference, a big difference. Getting that blood flowing through your body is a beautiful thing. And exercising actually strengthens your immune system. And so you need to do that. It's a good thing. The best time to exercise is whenever you can. One lady who is big on walking, she says, walk any time you get. In fact, the people that I follow with my exercise regimen, they say, do it any time. Do it any time you can get it in. And by the way, all you need is a good 15 minutes, people. Do something. Now, they recommend you do it for a half an hour. You don't have to. If 15 minutes, you can have, if you can deal with 15 minutes, get that done. And I've already shared with you some places to go online. You don't have to go to a gym. You don't have to pay any money. You can go online and get that blood to flowing real quick with the right beats and everything else. Just go to YouTube. Best gym in the world is YouTube. And you just get in there and you do it every day. Take one day off, but do it every day. Don't overdo it. Just do some light exercise and keep that blood flowing and those pounds off. The best time to exercise is whenever you can get it in, but most people prefer exercise in the mornings. I prefer that as well, because it seems to jumpstart their metabolism, our metabolism, giving them more energy and mental acuity throughout the day. And mental acuity is big, big. It's also easier to find the time in the early hours, because there are usually fewer demands on your schedule. Insofar as weight loss is concerned, exercise will reduce fat and build lean muscle mass. Your body will change. Your body will change. I was in the mirror the other day, and my wife was in the room helping me get dressed. I said, Marika, look, I'm seeing some muscles, and you're seeing some muscles you haven't seen in 20 years. My midsection area, a little washboard stomach is coming back a little bit. A little bit. I'll never get it like it was when she first met me. And when she flattered me by telling me that I looked like the statue of David, I was so built. Anyway, which will increase your metabolism. Insofar as weight loss is concerned, exercise will reduce fat and build lean muscle mass, which will increase your metabolism. And that, in turn, will burn more calories. Somebody said the other day that lifting weights and working with the weights is better than doing some aerobics. I don't know. I think you need to do both. Get your dumbbell, barbell, or whatever you want to call it, and do some weightlifting. Somebody else said the other day, I don't know where they got this from, but I was walking with my son yesterday, because somebody said the other day that if you walk backwards, it improves your memory. So I started, while we were in a parking lot, so I started walking backwards. It didn't help me, but I did it. He thought I was crazy. But anyway, the more exercise you get, the more muscle you gain. The more muscle you gain, the more your metabolism and energy will increase, and the more fat you'll burn. Amen. And beloved, in closing, as we focus over, or rather, as we focus on overcoming the sin of gluttony and managing our bodies as God intended, we must not lose sight of the most important part of our existence, our spiritual life. Even those of you who are fit, God bless you. I'm not envious of you. I'm not jealous of you. I just know you have not enjoyed life as I have. But that's okay. It's okay. It's okay. But those of you who are fit, who eat right and who exercise right regularly, must still address the condition of your spirit and the condition of your soul. You may keep your body in perfect condition till the day you die, but you will still die. I'm reminded of a beautiful young couple just yesterday, I believe it was. They were on their way to their wedding. I don't know why they were in the same car. I don't know how that worked. And out of nowhere, a truck came barreling down the road and hit them crossways there, and they both died in the prime of their lives. So you're going to die. The reason why I'm preaching this series now at message number 91 is, number one, it's about testimony and evangelism for me. You can't go up to a homosexual to witness to him about Jesus and they are fit and in shape, and you look like the Goodyear blimp trying to tell them about Jesus. They are going to criticize you, and they're going to try to shame you and not listen to you. Because to them, being in shape is important, and it is important. And they see that Christians are, and many Christians are, slovenly and not in shape. And they see that as a sin, and it is a sin. So, okay? So number one, it's a matter of testimony. Number two, it's a matter of feeling good and being healthy. And so it's not about prolonging life, even though it probably will do that, but we all will die. And the only thing that will matter is the condition of your soul and your spirit. Is your soul in shape? Is your spirit in shape? Is your soul in right standing with God? The only way to make sure of that is to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior from the power of sin and from the punishment and the consequences of sin, which is eternal hell. And there are fat people and skinny people in hell. Hell is a real place, whether you believe it or not, because your unbelief will not change the fact that there is a hell. Jesus Christ said there was a hell. In fact, Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. And only Jesus can save your soul, put you in right standing with God, and ensure that you do not perish in hell forever. Now, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, here's how you can trust Him as your Savior today. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. And so have I, and so has the Pope. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die physically because of our sin. We die spiritually because of our sin, and our soul goes to hell if we don't trust Christ as Savior. So, thirdly, we need to accept the fact that we are on the road to hell. You're on the road to hell if you have never trusted Christ as Savior. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." And hell is a place of outer darkness. Hell is a place, the Bible says, Jesus Christ said, is a place of outer darkness, a place of gnashing of teeth, a place of torment forever. That's how bad sin is. Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for our sins. Not for us to continue in sin, but to repent of our sins and trust Him as Savior. And He rose again. That is the gospel. That is the good news. Hell is the bad news. And Jesus Christ preached the good news better than anybody. He said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died for your sins, was buried, yes, even your sin of gluttony, was buried and rose again. He died for your sins, was buried and rose again. He is the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. And all you have to do is believe in Him and pray and ask Him to save your soul, and He will. And God guarantees your salvation. In Romans 10:9 and 13, "That if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved." Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven, to be with God and Jesus forever. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So you can't buy this salvation. You cannot work for this salvation. Going to church to gain this salvation is futile. You can't do that. Going to church and joining a church, giving money to the church or to charities, will not save your soul. Simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Pray and ask Him to save your soul. I'll be glad to lead you in prayer right now, as someone led me. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I've broken your Ten Commandments. I am guilty of sin. and I know that I deserve eternity in hell because of my sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, who died for my sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, and who is now sitting at your right hand. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and praying and asking him to save you, and meaning that from your heart. For more information, to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you to help you grow in the faith and become strong in the faith. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good. Make sure that you take heed to this message and don't overdo it this week.